Psalm 100 is one of the, I guess, go-to passages for Thanksgiving. Other ones include 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 17, which part of that is on the front of your bulletin. Luke 17 is a passage that I've used before where it talks about the 10 lepers that Jesus healed and then sent them away to the priest to be fully cleansed. Only one of them came back to say thank you. And that to me is kind of a picture of how we often are. We're maybe about thankful about 10% of the time. And anyway, then Psalm 100, and I searched through my files and I found that even though this is my 16th Thanksgiving as a pastor, I've never preached from Psalm 100. I've used it as a devotion before, but never preached a message for it. So anyway, I don't always gear a message toward a particular holiday, but I really try to follow God's direction and go where he leads me. But sometimes I don't see a clear leading, and so especially as I think when a holiday is coming, that's what I go to, is the holiday. And Thanksgiving is something that we need to be reminded of, giving thanks. Being thankful is such an important thing, and you know, our prayers should always include thanksgiving. I start most of the prayers from the pulpit in the morning here by saying, Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for every day. Thank you for every part of every day. I don't always say that. I just say thank you for this day. A lot of people will do that, and I know that there are many days for which we're not particularly thankful. And yet, there's always something to be thankful for. My prayer for each of us this week is that we focus on the incredible blessings that God's given us and that we give him thanks despite the trials and the tribulations of this life. And 1 Thessalonians 5 does say that we should be thankful in all things, and I know how hard that is, to be thankful in all things. But that's what he tells us to do. Easier said than done, I know. Psalm 100 is listed in my Bible as a psalm of thanksgiving. Now, psalm, of course, originally was a song, a hymn. If this would have been back in David's time, somebody would have said, turn to Psalm number 100. We're going to sing that. And I'd love to have known. I would love to know what the tune to that was. Wouldn't it be wonderful to hear those things? We'll probably never know. But a lot of the psalms were about thanksgiving. Some of them were about praising. Some of them were about asking God to take out our enemies. You know, I don't think we should sing that song necessarily today. But if you're looking in the hymnal for Thanksgiving songs, there's pretty limited selection. We sing, for example, Count Your Blessings, or we sing Come Ye Thankful People Come, or something like that. This morning, we sang Serve the Lord with Gladness, which is part of, in the first service, which is part of the message today. But you know what? Being thankful shouldn't be limited to a few songs in a hymnal. Shouldn't be limited to the third week of November or just the one day in November. We should be thankful every day for the things that God's blessed us with. Be thankful 365 and a quarter days each year, always. And again, I know it's easier said than done. I'm going to ask if you would and you are able to please stand as we read from God's Word, Psalm 100, which again says a psalm of thanksgiving. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who has made us and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. Make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. I don't want to embarrass anybody, but I hope I don't. But somebody just told me recently that there was a situation in church fairly recently where they wanted to say amen. And nobody else was saying amen, so they didn't. And I don't want you to ever feel like that if you're led to call out, to shout a praise to the Lord here in the church, please do it. It's something that we're not used to doing here in this church. And I do hear a few kind of whispered amens every once in a while. And I'm not, I had a pastor one time that used to say something and then he'd go like this, begging you to say amen. And I would never do that. But if you feel led to make a joyful shout to the Lord, people are probably going to notice because we don't do it. But don't be afraid to praise the Lord for something that he may have spoken to you. Many of you remember Brother John Brooks from the Macedonia Baptist Church in Kansas City. He preached a revival here a couple years ago. And anytime he goes to preach somewhere, he brings kind of a little posse with him. And they carry on conversations out there with each other across the thing. And it is a little hard to concentrate. And Brother Brooks asked, I told him, I said, I would love to visit your church. And he said, you come on down, we'll have you preach. And I'm like, no, I just don't think I could do that down there. But if we do it more, it's one of those things that you'll get used to it. So if you feel like God's telling you to say something, to give a praise to him, please don't be afraid to affirm that God is speaking to you. Shout to the Lord. Now, I'm told that the word shout there, and I always say I'm told that because I don't understand the original languages, but some people that print these things up tell me what it really means is to publicly give him praise, to publicly praise God. A lot of times we don't have any problem praising God in the quiet of our homes or in the middle of our hearts or in our minds or whatever. But this is saying publicly give praise. Shout to the Lord. And that's what we're told to do in this psalm. To give God the praise and the glory for all things. The last phrase of verse 1 says, all you lands. The command is not just to the Jews, not just to Emmanuel, not just to you, but to all people in all lands. I have told some of you I've been kind of busy with Isaac's ball games here recently because they pack them all into about 4 weeks and they are all over the place and it's a long story. But one of the things that I notice is that at a ball game, I am not afraid to say, yay, and clap and stand and give praise, but not to God necessarily. And I think that we're like that. We don't mind generally going out to eat after church service and giving praise to a waitress by giving her a tip or him a tip because we're praising them for the work that they did. But we're reluctant to give God praise for the work that he has done and is doing and will do. We've got to give praise to the Lord. We've got to shout to the Lord, publicly proclaim. Verse 2. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before his presence with singing. And it's been kind of a recent theme in several messages here lately. It's not intentional, but the idea of serving. Serving the Lord, and I really want you to hear this, is not an option. We are called as believers to serve the Lord. Every one of us is called to serve the Lord in some capacity. And when I got here this morning at about 7:45, 10 minutes till 8, something like that, Gary Robertson was out there shoveling the sidewalks bright and early so that it would be easier to walk through. That's an example, and I'm not doing that to praise him. I'm praising God for sending him to do that, so I didn't have to, I guess. But there's all kinds of opportunity for service. And many of you, myself included, we serve, but do we do it with gladness? And that's the kicker here for me. I go through every quarter and write on my page-a-day calendar that I got services at Crestview at 10 o'clock on the first Friday of every month, services at Crestview on the last Wednesday of every month, so that whenever I tear off that page, which is a routine of mine, I'll see, oh, I've got services today. And many, many, many times when I tear off that page and I see I've got services there today, I've been thinking about all that I've got to do, how busy I am, and I think, oh no, I've got to go to Crestview. That's the first thought in my head many times, not serving with gladness. And I got to tell you, every time I go, God blesses in incredible ways. Praise God for that. But it's just, that's kind of the attitude that I think a lot of us have when we're called on to serve. Oh no, not that. I got to drive the team kid bus again. You know, those kinds of things. And like I said in the first service this morning, we sang Serve the Lord with Gladness. And all of you who've led music at any point in your life, I know you've seen this, we're out there singing. There's no joy in our hearts. We're not singing praises to God. We're singing because the piano's going and we're being led. Serve the Lord with gladness. It's a privilege. It's an honor that not everybody has to be able to serve the Lord. It's not saying that we don't have to serve if we're not glad about it. We are supposed to serve. And since we have to do it anyway, we ought to be glad. And we did talk about this morning too. If you've ever led music, it's kind of hard to sing when you're smiling. It's hard to do that, but you can at least look like you're enjoying yourself, you know. And I'm not talking just the leaders. That's all these faces looking back at me here. Sing with gladness. And I got to say, if you can't serve with gladness, maybe you need to step back for a while and let God search your heart. That was my psalm this morning. Search my heart, O Lord, and see if there be any wicked way in me. And it's just one of the things that we've got to do sometimes, because we should serve the Lord with gladness. We should come before his presence with singing. Now, if you all start walking into the church next week and you're all singing at the top of your lungs, hallelujah. Praise God. I don't expect most of you to do that, but when we come before his presence, it should be with songs of praise. Verse 3. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. One of the stops along the Roman road tells us that we should confess with our mouths. And this is kind of confessing with your mouths. No, you can't confess that the Lord is God unless you know that he is God. Know that the Lord, he is God. Not Muhammad, not Buddha, not Joseph Smith, not so many other people that I could give you who claim to be either prophets of God or claim to be God themselves. God, the Lord, is God alone. Nobody else. Nothing else. God's the one who made us. He fashioned us before we were even conceived. Before your great-great-grandparents were even conceived, he had you in mind. And he had you in mind for a particular thing. And he gave you certain talents and gifts. Not the same ones that he gave to the person sitting next to you, or not the same ones that he gave to anybody else necessarily, but he gave you particular gifts for a particular purpose. He formed you. And any gift that you have came from him. Any gift that you have is intended to be used for him and for his glory. I had a recent message that reminded us we were bought at a price, the price of Jesus' death on the cross. And because of that, we are not our own. We don't belong to us. We belong to him. And then it says we are sheep, and we belong to him. I've talked about sheep before. I was a dairy cow kind of guy. But for about 1 year, and notice 1 year only, we raise sheep. They are utterly defenseless. They are totally dependent on the shepherd. And what I mean, they can go out and graze on the grass for themselves, but you got to provide it for them. And if there was grass here and not there, they would just as soon be here as there. They have to be kind of led. And I want you to see why we're called sheep. We are totally defenseless. And we are totally dependent upon the shepherd in this regard, at the very least. When it comes to our sin nature, and we all have one, we are totally defenseless against sin without the shepherd. We are totally dependent on the shepherd to take away our sin. And so because of that, we are very much like sheep. But there's one more thing I want you to see in that particular verse. The sheep of his pasture, he provides. He provides for us. And I believe that many of us have probably had testimonies or could give testimonies about how in the midst of our deepest trial, he provides. He provides the pasture so that his sheep can be taken care of. There again, if you've had an experience like that, shout to the Lord. Give him praise for what he's done for you in the past. Because of all the things that we've talked about in the first three verses, then comes verse 4. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. There's an awful lot in that one verse. First of all, enter into his gates. It truly is a privilege to live in a place where we are allowed to enter into the gates, into the place of worship for the Lord. You know that four of us went a little over a year ago, almost 2 years ago now, to a Muslim country. And over there, they have their worship place called a mosque. They're closer than you can even imagine, because when the chants start going off and they're telling people it's time to come pray five times a day, you hear it from every direction. There's one of those things on every corner. But not just anybody can go in. They won't let women in. You can't come in if you're not a Muslim. And they can't enter into the courts. They can't enter into the gates just at will. It's a privilege to be able to do that. Anybody, anytime, can enter the gates of the Lord with thanksgiving. We should always do it with thanksgiving. The creator of the universe welcomes us into his presence. We don't have to go through armed guards or metal detectors or anything like that. We simply have to call out to him from wherever we are, and he hears us. We can enter into his gates anywhere, anytime. And because of that, again, we should enter with thanksgiving. If we don't give God thanks any other time of year than the third week in November, shame on us. We truly do need to count our blessings, recognize that God has provided in incredible ways. Remember all the wonders that he's done in your life, how very many times he's answered your prayers, how very many times he guided you on the right path, and again, so much more accurately than a GPS. Because when Jim said something about, you know, you've arrived at your destination, I've arrived at my destination many times and there's nothing there. You know, that thing leads you astray. God will never do that. Think about how many, very many times he's forgiven you when you chose the wrong path. Thankful for all the times when he seemed to be far away from us, and for the difficult trials that we go through and that we will be called to go through. Even when we feel like he's left us. And I know this is hard, but he's never really forsaken us. He's never really left us. There are times that he allows us to go through trials so that we can turn back to him and recognize how he is the Lord. I think about this, it's kind of like when you had small children, or if you have small children, teaching them to ride a bike. And you know, you have the training wheels on there at first, which I think are probably a waste of time. It just gets them to be dependent on those things. But there comes a point in time when you take them off and you lead them down the road and kind of hold on to them for a while. But then what do? You let them go. And generally with a small child, what happens when you let them go? Generally they fall over. They crash. They go through a hard time, but it's on the way to learning how to get through those hard times that they learn how to ride the bike. And I kind of think that's what God does with us. He guides us along, then he lets us go. And if we crash, if we fall, he knows that we will turn back to him. Be thankful that God lets us fall from time to time, because it helps us to turn back to him. And then once we come into his presence, through the gates and into the courts, we're called to give him praise for everything in your life. Be thankful to him and bless his name. My old friend Kenny Groves, y'all remember Kenny, and every time he got up here to sing, he'd say, "Bless God, bless God." And I always thought that was kind of weird, you know, because aren't we supposed to ask God for blessings? But Kenny would say, "Bless God." And I talked to him about this, and he said his desire was that what he was about to do, that the life that he lived, would bless God. And we're called to bless his name. Goes back to the opening verse. Make a joyful shout to the Lord. Make it public. Don't be ashamed. That's going to bless the name of God. One of the psalms that I often use around Easter time, Psalm 22, in verse 3, tells us that God inhabits, or that he dwells in our praises. He lives in the praise that we offer up to him. Shout to the Lord, because he lives in the things that we lift up to praise him. And finally, verse 5. For the Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting, and his truth endures to all generations. You see, we've been told to make a joyful shout. We've been told to serve the Lord with gladness. We've been told to sing and praise him and to enter into his presence with thanksgiving. And if we have any question about why we should do that, here it is. For the Lord is good. Every good and perfect gift comes from above, comes from the Lord. He does us good and not evil all of our days. All things work together for good. You get the idea that God is good. He's always good. Therefore, we should do these things that are prescribed for us in Psalm 100. There's another reason besides his being good. It says his mercy is everlasting. His mercy doesn't have an expiration date. His mercy doesn't say three strikes and you're out. Praise God for that. His mercy is everlasting. When that means his forgiveness is complete and eternal for those who've put their faith and trust in him. That's a good reason to be thankful if you don't have very much else to be thankful for right now. Be thankful that his mercy doesn't end. His truth endures to all generations. Many times from up here, I'll tell you, this is one of my favorite verses. Well, this one is my favorite, and you know it. Most of you know it. Isaiah 40, verse 8, which says, "The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God stands forever." And I love that because it says that even everything on this earth is temporary. The grass withers, the flower fades, the troubles come, the troubles go. But his word endures. His word stands forever. I was talking with somebody just the other day about how much things have changed in our lifetimes. And the longer you live, the older you get, the more things change, I know. But it's hard for this generation to think about this. You're uptown on a Saturday night and your car dies and you got to call dad to come get you. What do? You go to the payphone. Hope you got a dime or a quarter to go to the payphone and call, because there's no cell phones. And today, it's everywhere. We all have them. This is one I thought about because we had one oscillating fan in our house when I was growing up, one. And so you're sitting in the living room, and the fan's going like this, and it feels so good for just that little moment that it's on you. And then it goes away, and you just sit and wait for another cool breeze to come in a little bit. Kids today don't understand that. You may have an oscillating fan, but it's blowing air-conditioned air, right? But everything has changed. From the time that I was a kid, everything has changed. Except his word, his truth. It endures for generations. It stands forever. And again, if you don't have much else to be thankful for today, be thankful that in all of the world, there's only one thing that doesn't change, and that's God's word. Praise God for that, not just at Thanksgiving time. Earlier it was read to you, Floyd read to you from Colossians 3. I want to read verse 15 again. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which you are also called in one body, and be thankful. Let the peace of God rule in your hearts, not the troubles of the world, not the things that you're going through right now. Let the peace of God have control, the peace that passes understanding. And then it says, to which you were also called in one body, this body, the body of believers. We're all called together. And then it says, and be thankful, no matter what the circumstance. I'm so thankful for you, each one of you. I'm so thankful for this body of believers that God has gathered together here in this place. I'm thankful for the peace of God. But I still need to learn to be thankful when peace seems far away. I'm thankful that God sent his son to die for my sins and for yours. And if you have nothing else to say thanks for this Thanksgiving time or any other time, be thankful that God sent Jesus so that you could have eternity in a place where there is no sorrow, and there are no tears, and there is no pain. That's for believers. If you've never accepted Jesus as your Savior, I don't know how you get through. I really don't. Everybody goes through trials. Some people have Jesus, and they have the peace that comes from Jesus. Some people don't have Jesus, and I don't know how you could possibly go through things that we see happening all around us if you don't have Jesus. If you've never accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, never confessed that you're a sinner, never acknowledged that only through Jesus can that sin be removed, that's what you need to do today. The Lord is good. His mercy is everlasting. Shout to the Lord. Give him praise. Let's pray.